Hey, before we hop into the podcast, just wanted to say thank you for giving Common Folk a listen each and every week. We really do appreciate you guys. Also want to give you the heads up that this week's episode will be a re-air of episode 121, A Small Town's Cooperative Way to Keep Its Grocery Store. We head on up to northeast Nebraska to my hometown of Lynch. And really find a fascinating story of how a community was able to rally together to keep their small grocery store from closing. They had to jump through so many hoops, change up so many ways of running a traditional business, but it all came together and it worked out, and it's a heck of a ride, heck of a listen. Also wanted to give a shout out to this week's sponsors. That is Barn Owl Cellular Cameras. That is barnowl.tech. Be sure to use our promotional code FARMFOCUSED, all one word, lowercase. That'll save you an additional 10%. And right now, Barn Owl has a buy two, get one free promo going on with their Range Cam. They're the number one off-grid camera for farms, ranches, and rural America. So that fits us perfectly. Well, without anything else, let's hop into the pod.
Sun rolling over, acres of farmland, shining the light on the world. I grew up in no name, dirt roads about to get tore up, all going down in a town you never heard of. Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
All right, welcome back to Common Folk,
the podcast for the people, by the people.
There it is.
So I got the show on the road.
Yes, we do. We're in a new location, guys.
Yes, on location at the Valley Foods Cooperative. How long has Valley Foods been open and operational under that name, David?
It'll be 2.5 months, August 2nd.
Okay.
Oh, so it's super new.
2.5 years.
Years. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but
restart.
No, but yeah. Years.
Two and a half years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're in the Lynch grocery store that's now run as a cooperative. Kind of a unique deal there. But when I was growing up, this was always Randy's Market.
Right. Right. Randy bought it in '78. I think he ceased operations in 2005. Somewhere's in there.
Okay.
And then Farnix took it over and ran it till March of 2020. The flood didn't hit this area, this part of town, but it had an effect because the groceries came out of Niobrara.
Yeah.
And they'd had to go either down through gravel roads through Pishelville. You'll have to look that up on the map, guys. down through Pishelville.
Yeah.
Or go clear up around Wagner and down 281 to Spencer. Yeah,
it was crazy.
It was a disaster.
It took me 8 hours one time to get from Omaha to Lynch.
Yeah.
Because of all the bridges being out. And we're talking about the floods of 2019.
Right.
But that had a devastating effect on all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And this grocery store was kind of collateral damage
that's
a certain extent.
Right. Well, and then originally, right away, what really happened was that a lot of well-meaning people and by all means, you know, donated a lot of supplies. Well, the community hall next door was clear full of supplies. Nobody's buying anything in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't think about those things until you analyze things afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to be fair, the Farnix were getting up there in years, and they were ready to retire anyway. So the new buyers of they own the Niobrara store. Also, the new buyers of the Niobrara store weren't interested in this one. So we're out of a grocery store.
Mm.
So, and that's kind of where I want to pick up this story.
And so, you gotta introduce them too.
We have David Barnes here. now you're from Lynch, graduated from Lynch Public High School,
1971.
There we go,
class of 17.
Yep.
Okay, so did you ever leave town, or you've always been here?
Yeah,
okay.
I moved to Omaha. I lived in Omaha for 40 some years.
Oh, I got you.
I'm a retired accountant. Worked for a large construction company in Omaha. And
just wanted to get back home.
Yeah, a little slower pace. Mm-hmm. A slower place lifestyle and get away from the city, and get back and hang out with my own old cronies like your father, you know, like me. Yeah.
Getting the band back together.
Yeah, that's right, getting the band back together. Yeah.
How long ago did you move back?
We completed our move in July of 19.
Okay.
So I was just right after the flooding, and but there wasn't any water. There wasn't any town water at that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to buy bottled water to make your coffee and stuff like that, and boil water to wash your dishes and things like that. Although growing up on the farm, you just pumped it out of the well, and that's what you drank, and that's what you use. It wasn't a whole lot different. But I guess we all survived that. But
my buddy Aaron Holtz still had well water out at their farm, and it always had a crazy taste to it. He couldn't tell the taste. But when we went out, they were like, "What is wrong with your water, man?"
Ours was terrible too. It was a 40-foot well, and it was just hard. It just eat through pipes and stuff. But anyway, that's we're going down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah. We got good water now.
We do. Yeah, it comes out of Holt County, out of the well fields over there, and it's good water now.
So the flood happened. Farnix were looking to retire anyhow, right, and get out of the grocery biz. You moved to town, and all of a sudden Lynch doesn't have a grocery store.
Correct.
Yep. So how did this all come about, really?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that. A few months after the store closed, Janie Fisher bought the building for a very reasonable price.
Okay.
And she had intentions of trying to reopen it as a grocery store. So how did I get involved? Well, it was that happy hour one night, and I had three pretty good IPAs, and you should really only limit yourself to one, by the way, if they're pretty big. And Martha and Janie approached me about being on a committee to try to bring a grocery store. And so, three beers in, sure.
Seems like a good idea.
Sure, yeah, why not? So I guess you could say they got me drunk and took advantage of me.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that what happened? Okay.
See?
The truth comes out.
Yep. Yeah, I guess since we're not FCC regulated, I can say things like that. So Janelle Mashanik had seen in the Norfolk paper where Charlotte Nargis out of the extension office in Lincoln, UNL, okay, had helped Plainview or Norfolk or somebody do something. So she noticed that article, and Martha Fisher, mm-hmm, called her to see what we were. You know, said, "Well, we bought a building. We want to open a grocery store. What do we do next?" None of us have any grocery store experience. Mm-hmm. There's six of us that the bigger players in this. Martha Nelson, Janie Fisher, Paul Fisher, Jabe Fisher, Janelle Mashanik, and myself. So Martha called her and sort of started the ball rolling. We put together a survey we sent out to everybody with a 68746 zip code. We sent it out to alumni, because you have an alumni, mm-hmm, listing. And that we were interested in grocery. We were trying to see what kind of interest there was in reopening the grocery store. We did get a 45% response, which is from what I understand, that's pretty good. You're lucky if you get a third.
Sure.
Yeah.
And this was also online, and we sent out email. I sent out emails to well-heeled people I knew, and to see if they would contribute and they complete the survey online, and so there was enough interest. 75% of the people said they'd spend half their grocery budget in here, and we determined that would probably be enough to try to reopen.
Okay,
so the next step is, what type of entity are we going to do? You could do an LLC, but you're going to have to round up money, and you'd have investors to have to, well, you still do. It was just kind of decided that since we were going to need some, figured we'd need $100,000 to redo the building and initial inventory. Mm-hmm. So decided to go cooperative. The price of the shares were $250 for a common share. That's a voting stock, and then $250 a share for preferred stock, which would earn dividends if the store became
profitable,
viable. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, started that June of 2021. We thought we would try to be open by October of 2021. We didn't make that target. So we started, and the first night we rounded up $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was June, early June, and then the alumni banquet, and there were 400 people at the alumni banquet, and so we made a spiel there too, and told a couple of lame jokes, and
got some IPAs and some people, and
took advantage of those people too.
The first route, just get those IPAs out there.
If you want reviews on IPAs and Scotch and bourbon, come to me. So if you're someplace and you're not sure which one to get, just text me.
All right.
Oh, by the way, if you ever see a Van Winkle, buy it.
Okay.
A Van Winkle?
Bourbon.
Okay.
Oh.
Right,
yeah, you won't.
Is it that Pappy Van Winkle or whatever? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so you've
heard of
it?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, most people, I have one bottle.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it super rare?
Yeah, it's fairly, it's got a mystique, and it's, frankly, it's overhyped.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
There's other ones that are, secondary market, the 23-year-old could go for $2,000.
Serious?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, secondary market. I've seen some out there for $90, but then I looked at it. Oh, that's just for the bottle. There's nothing in it.
Nice.
But we're down the rabbit hole. But
yeah.
Because, there's things I like to talk about.
Well, yeah. Day one, you raised $30,000. That had been a pretty good sign.
That was a good sign, and we thought that maybe we'd raise quite a bit more after the banquet, but we didn't because people were more concerned about coming downtown and drinking IPAs and
sure.
Busch Lights and things like that. And it kind of was slow. We kind of was slow after that. We put articles in the Spencer Advocate, that's the county mm-hmm. newspaper, every other week, letting people know where we were, that we were still trying to reopen. So, if they don't hear anything, it's done.
Yeah.
So you just put something in there. Let them know how much stock we've received, what we've received in grants, and what we've received in donations. So I'd say by August 1st, we were maybe at $60,000. It just...
Yeah.
Seemed to me that people were waiting for a threshold to be met. Okay, if you get to 50,000, I'll give something.
Mm-hmm.
If you get to 60, I'll give something. If you get to 75, I'll give something. We're selling shares, so you have to clear that through the Nebraska Banking Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd set up that we were shooting for $100,000. We've authorized $200,000 in stock, so. We need to raise money for something else. And we said that we would open it if we got to 75,000. We would go forward. And so we did get to 75,000, and we got some more in.
Right.
And so we were at 85,000 in stock and donations. And a family came to town. I'm not sure how they heard about this, but they came to town and... the last name hadn't been around for 70 years. Some of their grandchildren are around, but the last mm-hmm. name hadn't been around for 70 years. and said, okay, you guys are at 85,000 and you're looking to give 100, we'll make that difference.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was huge.
That's huge. Yeah, and that's one of the things here that we had to have about four to five things happen. Each had to happen, and they all did.
Wow.
That's a sign.
It is a sign. Yeah. Yeah, and I'd like to share something that the minister, the Methodist minister, told us that that we were talking about trying to raise money and open the store up, and he says, you're doing God's work.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So that's a, you know, you're getting blessed right there. So
yeah.
So, but anyway, so back to whiskey and beer and
But okay, so all four things lined up, and now you have Lynch has a grocery store,
right?
But it's a cooperative. Was there two or three other cooperatives that were out there that you're kind of trying to follow suit or mimic, or is this all just like, this is how we got to do it if we're going to move forward?
Yeah, and explain a cooperative, because I still, like,
well,
a little,
each, you sell shares in it, and then the if the thing is profitable enough and you decide to distribute your profits, then the profits get allocated to the stockholders.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
It's typically, in the past, it's been done for elevators, for grain sales. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's modeled after that.
But obviously it works in other ways.
I mean,
you've proved it.
And then none of the stockholders everybody went into this with their eyes open.
Yeah.
That the chances of them getting a dividend or anything out of it are slim.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you're given the money so that you have it for the convenience of having a store. Hi, Pat.
Come on in.
Yeah.
The bread.
Yeah, the bread. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
He's bringing us bread here.
We're recording a podcast. Turn around and say hi there for the YouTube channel.
You can be
channel.
On camera.
There we go.
Yeah.
So,
that's Pat.
I see that quite a bit. I watch that channel.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
YouTube?
You got this guy here. He's going to be a movie star if you put him on TV.
Well, I do kind of look like George Clooney.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. Well, there's three things there. We're about the same age, and we're both reasonably tall, and we both got gray hair. So there.
There you go. 3 for 3. Yep.
You got it. You hit them all.
So
our politics might be different, but
we don't know. That's another podcast.
We won't go into that. Let's not start there.
Put the cap on at the whiskey talk. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so the cooperative's up and running. You guys have been going for 2.5 years.
Correct.
What's the current state of affairs? It's looking good. It's spinning like a top.
Well, it's got positive cash flow, but I have to qualify that by saying that we have volunteer management, mm-hmm. The day-to-day management and the ordering, and when the truck comes on Wednesday, we have 8 to 10 people that volunteer to come unload the trucks and do the initial stocking of the shelves. Mm-hmm. So if you had to pay a manager and you had to pay stock help, mm-hmm. that would be a struggle.
Yeah.
So it's got positive cash flow under the current configuration.
And this kind of goes back to that sense of community that we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a number of volunteers and just initially stockholders investing their money knowing that,
hi Chris,
you know, dividends might not be there, right?
Yeah.
But you get that sense of ownership. And you're going to take care of a place. You're going to support a place if you're volunteering your time to make it happen.
Yeah. Right. Or you got some money in it, you know?
Of course.
So, and we have to price our stuff reasonably competitive to Cahoy's and Spencer. That's 13 miles away. We maybe don't get to charge as much as we might be able to.
That was going to be my next question. So where is the next closest?
Yeah, 13 miles at Spencer.
Okay.
And to the east would be 25 miles, and to Niobrara to the south would be 45 miles to mm-hmm. O'Neill.
Okay. And so those people that are not watching YouTube, I mean, how big is your store right here, like square foot wise? I mean,
I think
there's three aisles that
1,800 square feet.
Okay. Yeah.
On the sales floor.
But I mean, looking around, you have a lot of stuff here. Yeah. I didn't know coming into it, but I'm thinking it would be way smaller than this. So I'm super impressed.
Yes. Well, thank you.
And it's so clean, very organized. I mean, you guys have this like tip top shape.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's the intent. I have to hand it to our supplier. And that was one of the key things that had happened. We had to have a supplier come to the door. Mm. So we don't have to go anywhere else to go get our groceries down to Niobrara or Spencer. Or,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
They come to the door. And they came in and set it up.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we wouldn't know
how to do it. Like where to put the stuff.
We know enough to put the milk and the eggs and the bread back in the corner.
Oh, wait, it doesn't go on the counter? Okay.
Yeah, no, we know to put that back in the corner so they have to walk by everything else in order to, what is that, marketing 101?
Yes. Put the good stuff in the back and,
put the stuff that they you know, they actually come in to get.
All the candy at eye level so the kids have to get something.
Of course.
I mean, hello.
Yes. Yeah, all the ice cream, all the candy bars right up by the checkout counter.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
see, I could open a grocery store. Yeah. Sounds like I got it. Not.
The candies haven't really moved. They've always been up there by the register.
Right, well, that's standard marketing. Yeah.
And I have a story going down memory lane. It's really stuck with me. But I wasn't any taller than the bench we're behind right now.
Okay.
I was really little.
Thanks, David.
And
thanks, Pat.
I wanted, there's a Tootsie Pop that has the Tootsie Roll in the middle.
Yeah.
I wanted a Tootsie Pop and came in shopping with mom and she just wouldn't let me have it. And I'm like, it's 15 cents. You know, I can.
Now 29.
Now it's 29 cents. Jeez, inflation. But I'm like, come on, let me have a Tootsie Pop. And she stuck to her guns. She's like, no, you can't have it. So
what was the reason?
I don't know.
I guess I was being good.
Yeah, I was a bad boy or something.
He
so
must have been chubby at the time.
Yeah,
he's never been chubby.
I know. So. On accident, I called him small once. I didn't know that was a diss.
Jeez. So anyway, I doubled down on being a bad boy, and I took the Tootsie Pop and I rolled it up in my shirt.
You stole it?
Yeah, and Beth Tarr was working, and she helped mom load the groceries, and I'm just sitting in the van like this.
Oh yeah, you're not trying to hide it.
And mom goes, "What's in your shirt?" I go, "Nothing." Why are you sitting like that? No reason. And then Beth came out and goes, "Unroll your shirt," and I did, and I'm like, showed him the Tootsie Pop, and man, did I get my ass chewed.
Was it the same building?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was
did
right
you
there.
Have to return the Tootsie Pop?
Yeah, I had to do the walk of shame in front of all the old ladies and put the Tootsie Pop back. I'm like, all this for 15 cents? I'm like, why can't I just...
They should have made you, like, straighten up the aisles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, restock.
Yeah.
So how long did this place sit unoccupied from before
March of 20 to... we started bringing inventory in January of 22.
Okay.
So, but before all that's done, as you can see in here, this is all new ceiling, all new lighting, all new floor.
Oh, so you had to redo
a
lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, just to make it look nicer. Yeah.
No, the flooring is excellent. You know, that's new.
Yeah.
And it's so much brighter in
so
here, you guys.
So it was in rough shape before?
Yeah.
It
was in rough shape.
When you guys were talking about the flood earlier, like, was this building full of water?
No. Okay. The flooding was block east.
Oh, okay.
Two blocks east.
Okay.
So, and we got rid of all the old coolers and freezers and bought new. We got new ones. We got a grant to get new ones. And the labor to do we had volunteer labor to come in and clean it up and clean all the shelves and stain the shelves and the labor for the electrician and the floor contractor did all that work for materials.
Yeah.
No, we couldn't have paid the labor.
Yeah.
We didn't have enough money. So that helps. All that helps.
Yeah. Yeah,
and adds up. We ended when we opened the door. We had 125,000 in stock donations and grants, and we were in our renovation of $100,000 plus opening inventory came in at 99.5.
All right.
Wow.
Got it.
Yeah, so, well, you know the Fishers, and yeah, they're kind of tight and tight with their money, and well, I am too. So.
Yeah.
So, but we made it work, but the best thing is that we bought the building for $8,000.
Okay.
We were able to open, and have cash to operate.
That's mm-hmm. huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And, you know, and this is, we have no debt, no long-term debt. The only things we owe for right now are last week's groceries.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Do you think you guys will be at a point sometime where you, excuse me, you are paying dividends to your shareholders?
Well, I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
One of my thoughts is that I'm not giving away my time so somebody else can get dividends.
Right.
So the way I envision it happening is that I don't think we'll ever be able to pay a manager, a standalone manager mm-hmm. who does nothing else, the money it would take.
Yeah.
It's just not there.
Yeah.
So what I envision happening is that we get a super clerk that's can take on some of that and pay them some more money and mm-hmm. then the clerks get and go from there. So we want to get to that point,
yeah.
but it's you got to get there first. But
of course, you mentioned the selection. I think you got a fantastic selection.
I know.
Was there a thought process as far as like we just want the value goods, or we want the high end products, or is it like a you're just listening to your suppliers and taking what they say? Or
well, opening inventory of suppliers, and I asked whether we wanted the best choice, which is the store brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think we gotta have mostly that.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a high income community,
right?
And so they're going to be looking. They'll be willing to pay 75 cents a can less for the store brand than the Libby's or the Del Monte.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're willing to do that. So we made that decision, but there is some stuff that are top shelf stuff. The flour there's some,
yeah.
Some people only use gold medal flour and yeah. some people only, Heinz ketchup.
Yeah.
And some people only IPAs, but we don't sell alcohol.
Oh, you don't. Here. That's a whole nother level.
Well, alcohol.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, licensing and all that stuff.
Yeah, licensing and more exposure to, you don't want to be selling underage.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Plus, there's already two businesses in town
that do that.
And
let them do that.
You don't want to trot on their territory.
Gotcha.
We don't do tobacco either.
Okay.
And we do lottery. And actually, I think Rachel was talking one time that actually somebody might have done a sting on a lottery because you're not... You have to be 19 to buy lottery tickets. And somebody came in that she didn't know and said, well, I need to see your ID. And, I got to get in the car. And
left.
Got in the car and left, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, the state's pretty good about running through here every so often, hitting up Monowai and then Lynch and then Niobrara.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just trying to help us, protect and serve us.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
It's a good use of our tax dollars to run and try
and
pop us. But, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
I think the selection thing and where you get all that's interesting to me for small town grocery stores. So to help people understand that, you have essentially one supplier that you hooked up with that brings you all of this.
Well, so the individual suppliers, well, he was just here. That's the bread.
It looks
Bimbo.
Earth Green breads, I think.
That's Sara Lee.
It's Sara Lee brand and the store brand. And Frito-Lay comes in.
Okay.
Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Dr. Pepper, they come in.
So that's all separate individual suppliers?
Right.
Yep.
And the Gatorade, is, believe it or not, is separate from all those.
Oh, really?
So we have to get the Gatorade from another supplier. But the rest of it comes from AWG out in Norfolk.
Okay.
Right there at the intersection of 275 and 81, a giant building on the southwest corner. And that was another thing that had to happen. It's also a co-op.
Oh, okay.
And it's owned by its customers. mm-hmm. and were a customer. But when we were starting this, you had to buy stock to get into it. But the stock was $36,000.
Whoa.
Wow.
And so that's out of our price range. But by the time we were getting ready to open, maybe I'll just back up a little bit. We were originally going to try to partner with Cahoy's,
right.
Spencer, and go up there and get it and bring it down. And
yeah.
they were going to charge us some percentage for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But then their supplier changed the game on it. And they said, well, we thought maybe they could pallet it and be on that truck, and they could just take them off the pallets and we could come up and get it. Well, they changed the program and said, well, we're going to make a separate stop, but it's going to cost you $350 to do it. Well, $350 on top of Cahoy's 8 or 10% that's not going to work.
Yeah, okay.
That's not going to work. AWG had dropped their stock price to $18,000.
Oh.
Which is they split their stock, so that got it more into our price range. So Paul called them to see, and this would have been in, I don't know,
2020?
October, 21 or 20, okay. somewhere's in there, we think we could swing the $18,000, what's the minimum order? Well, the sales manager at the time said, well, that's $10,000 a week. We don't gross $10,000 a week, so we can't be buying $10,000 a week in groceries. We were going down to Omaha to see our son Andy, and I got a text from Charlotte Nargis from UNL that she'd been to some conference, and that AWG was. Might be willing to supply us. This is just out of the blue.
Yeah.
And at this point, we're almost dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's Farnerbach, and you know they supply the sea stores,
mm-hmm.
things like that. They couldn't supply us because it was too much shelf space.
Right.
Said that they might be willing to supply us. So we met with them, and rather than a minimum order. They have a minimum freight and then a minimum warehouse charge.
Okay.
So if and the number for us is about $6,000 to $7,000 what we'd have to order in order to not be in charge the minimum. So what they're trying to do is they need so much to make their truck come here.
Right.
And they need so much to pallet the stuff to put on the truck.
Sure.
So rather than making it a minimum order, they're just getting their margin through the minimum freight and the minimum warehouse charge. And that makes it doable.
Yeah.
That makes it doable. So at that point, we're meeting with him, I'm going, oh, holy shit, this is going to happen.
Yeah. The dominoes start falling.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And that was one of the things we needed to meet Charlotte. We needed to raise the stock money. We needed to... we needed to have that family come in and put in $15,000, and we needed AWG to come forward.
Hmm. Yeah.
And those are the four things we needed to have happen, and they all did.
Nice. And all the volunteer work too.
And all the we had to have because you can't and all the volunteer work.
Yeah,
it had to happen. Yeah, that's the only way it was going to work.
Yeah.
Are you able to work with, or do you guys work with at all as far as suppliers? Any local things like do you have like some local meats or anything?
Yeah,
like
we
that?
Have. We have eggs from TNS Farms, a Tanner Black to Bristow. We have barbecue sauce from Ober's out of Royal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And Deanne Carson Wood, she has salads and jellies that she brings in too.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do some local stuff too.
Mm-hmm. No sugar cookies?
Well, I don't know if she brings them in.
My mom used to bring cookies in here.
Oh,
yeah. Oh really?
That's kind of like her thing. Was,
maybe she needs to get back on.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. David,
well, there's
give her a call.
Go
there.
Up that aisle there. High margin stuff on the right. Stuff you need on the left.
I noticed there was a cooler back here with like some different sausages and meat sticks. Is that a?
Yeah, there are. It's Mauschkus out of Ashton, Nebraska. That's west of St. Paul.
Okay.
We tried to do something with Jim Korb up here at Bristow.
Yeah.
But you know Jim.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
That didn't work out.
He liked his current program.
So. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Not wrong with that.
That's neat.
He likes change even less than me. So.
But produce and stuff, are you getting that?
Do
you
That's get that all from? Coming from the supplier.
Okay. Yeah. I just didn't know if anyone has like a
yeah,
huge, like,
there's
local
some old
garden
O'Neill. Or... we thought maybe trying to do something with wildflower over there at O'Neill, but it doesn't really work out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that's then. There are challenges here.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the produce, bananas, two boxes are too many, one isn't enough.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to get them in boxes. Right. You know, and then trying to guess the milk.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got, you know, like alumni weekend, you'll probably see a surge.
So right, well, the summers are a surge in themselves.
Yeah, okay.
The people on the river, there's... how many cabins on the river?
Oh, my gosh.
100?
Yeah,
120?
Like between the two.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah. Some people come up every weekend, or some live year-round, and some come up for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Without them, this would be a real, real struggle.
Mm. Would it?
A real struggle.
Okay.
Yeah, just with the local people and the regular week-to-week trade, this would be a struggle.
So... when I was growing up, Lynch had a population of about 300.
Yeah.
What do you think Lynch is at now?
About 195, somewhere in there.
So less than 200 supporting a grocery store, I would think that could be a struggle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
I guess I was thinking, I don't know, 500. You know, I just didn't really even know. You've talked about it, but mm-hmm. it's gone backwards.
It's a lot smaller than Murray, where we're at.
Yeah.
Murray doesn't have a grocery store.
Well, just the lake community that we're in, I kind of ran the numbers. It was around 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
Okay.
And that doesn't have a grocery store.
Right.
You
yep.
know.
Yep.
So
which one's what's that?
Around Beaver Lake.
Oh yeah.
It's about
yeah.
a population of about 1,000. Just that.
Well, yep. it's so close to the Hy-Vees and the.
That's true.
Food yeah, we get north.
Yes.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
So if you had to give people advice on wanting to do something like this, would you say do it? Or like, wow, this you do need a team. This is
you
really
need
hard.
A team. Yeah,
I mean, obviously, it's not a
yeah,
one-man
met,
show.
It just didn't happen overnight.
Yes,
we met via Zoom weekly with Charlotte at the UNL once a week for 14 months.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's and then Jordan Rasmussen out of Rural Prosperity in Nebraska. I think she lives in Erickson.
Okay.
She helped with some of this stuff too. Yeah. They helped us write the grants, and they helped us got us in contact with a co-op attorney, tried to get that set up correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So in this process, you learned a lot too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but you know, I'm coming from an accounting background. This
okay.
isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too far off. Then.
This isn't. Yeah, this relates fairly well.
Okay.
But no grocery store experience, none of us.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it was more of a necessity. Like, you need to have a grocery store, you know.
Yeah, how are we going to do it?
Yeah. And then, yeah, figure out how you got to do it. And wouldn't you know it, those four big pillars all lined up for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sitting there, and we had financials from Farnix before.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We're looking at them, and we're looking at them. I'm just saying at the meeting, I'm just saying, well, this isn't going to work without a volunteer manager. And they all looked my direction. there was nobody
behind you.
Me.
Yeah.
No, so
sounded like you were volunteering.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
So how much volunteer hours do you think you put in?
Probably at least 30 hours a week.
Okay, so that's a lot. But
it
you
is
do
a lot.
Have a couple employees, you know, like you have the lady running the
we're
counter.
We're open 56 56 hours a week.
Okay.
And so it's about an employee and a half.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then Jay does the ordering, and that's part of the key that's kind of making this work is that, and I'm supposing he puts in maybe close to the same, 20 mm-hmm. to 30 hours a week. But you go up the aisle in a frozen food section, we got some stuff you wouldn't think.
Yeah.
You know, we could have crab rangoon, we could have Asian dumplings, we have wontons.
Little wontons.
Yeah. Egg rolls. And egg rolls. We have stuff like that. And along with the standard.
You still have Tootsie Pops up there?
You better check his shirt.
I'll check your shirt before you go. So,
do you guys have kind of like long-term plans or hopes for what this looks like in 10 or 15 years? You know, how you bring the next generation in, who takes it over? How does this carry on?
Well, that's a really good question. As currently configured, it's not going to work without a volunteer manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you just have to hope somebody with some knowledge retires.
Yeah.
And unless we find somebody to.
Well, it sounds to me like you kind of dodged a bullet here, because like a big saying is once you retire, now you're really busy because you start getting into all your hobbies and this and that. And so and so's not working.
You can only drink so much scotch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you backed off from, your 40-hour work somehow. Week to 30 hours.
Well,
so you're living the dream.
Yeah. Well, it was more like 60. So I was working
ahead. See? Half the time.
Cut in half.
Yeah. So even working 30, you're bored. I mean, got to get you another job.
Yeah. Well.
But between the grocery store and the IPAs,
I think he's full time now.
My wife says your next undertaking has to pay.
Right.
Well, I feel like for things like this, in order for them to continue on, the town needs more folks like you who made the decision to move back and then want to give back and want to make things work.
Right.
So you need folks like Andy and his family, this generation.
Exactly.
Come in and
there's several young couples in town and some little kids now, and the daycare reopened,
right?
Houses are house comes up for sale, it sells.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
What a lot of people don't think about too, I mean, yeah, you're a long ways away, but how much more affordable is it to live somewhere like in this general area than where we're traveling an example? I mean,
yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that it's. Well, we bought a 1,400 square foot house for $38,000.
Yeah.
See, so what's that tell you?
Right. Exactly.
Well, and this building you bought for $8,000.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Try to buy
this building would go
in Bellevue.
For
$100,000. The old Larry's old building over here. That went for $10,000.
Wow.
And
okay.
And that was after it was all remodeled and done.
Yeah.
The old electronics store.
Okay,
Yeah.
And people got to realize, I mean, you're not going to come out here and start a business and make a fortune. That's not what this is about. You're going to come out here and start a business because you're helping the community.
Right.
And then you're going to be able to just halfway keep your own head above water, but you're going to enjoy your life.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole lot more fulfilling.
Well, this store, if it was a mom and pop store, and mom and pop worked, and that would probably be enough for them to, mm-hmm. to live here.
Mm-hmm.
So if they did all the labor themselves.
Sure. Yes, yep. And they're not paying out.
Yeah, they're not paying people. So that would probably be enough because this is what we pay the clerks plus what extras left over.
Yep.
And that would be.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
There's probably a couple of different avenues, like you mentioned, they're a mom and pop. If a young couple moved back and that's what they want to do and they had some experience,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you could reconfigure everything, but
well, no,
there is
you could figure out something.
Yeah, exactly.
Some sort of profit sharing or some sort of thing.
Yep.
Where you could make that work. So, but what we really need to do.
What do we really need?
Let's hear.
So this building over here, the old Moody's Mercantile, the building over there.
Yeah.
You need to round up the people, the money, and the workers.
Okay.
To put a brewery in.
Okay. Ooh. Now we're talking.
There you go.
We've been dancing around
back.
It. Yeah.
The next thing, Andy's moving to Lynch. Yeah, he's going to open a bar.
somehow we would buy the school building.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And one side would be the brewery, and the other side would be the still.
Okay, now we're talking. We could put
Let's dream here.
Yeah, we could put that, I was talking about the shop,
Yep.
Yesterday.
Yep.
We'll put the still down in the old shop area, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We're getting somewhere.
I'm just talking about the old brick building, so
pretty sharp.
A lot of cool opportunities in small towns, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, how to repurpose, how to see something else.
Yep. And it just takes people with the, you know, the desire and the drive and the will, and things like this happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to also stress that we have that new addition in the back.
Mm-hmm.
We received a $200,000 grant from the USDA.
Nice.
So we were able to put that addition in the back, buy one more freezer up here, new sidewalk up front. I suppose you saw that.
Yep, that's
Bought a skid loader, new walk-in freezer and refrigerator, and a couple new display things for the salads and things like that, and some deli equipment. We're starting to slice up the higher end salami and stuff like that.
Oh, nice. There's a
better markup in that sort of stuff.
Sure.
And frankly, the product's a lot better than Oscar Mayer and things like that.
Package stuff. Yeah. So everyone is always so pissed off at our government, and what you're saying is our government is actually doing some good in some of these small towns.
That's right.
People have to realize, there's some good things going on.
I wanted to bring that up because we're supposed to whenever we, according to our agreement with the
U.S.
We're supposed to get that in there so they get some publicity out of it.
That should be their new slogan, not all bad.
Yeah.
just a little good.
The best thing about it is that with that grant, is we saved enough money and spots in here and there that we were able to purchase a generator.
Okay.
So when the power goes off, 10 seconds it's back on.
You don't lose all your frozen goods.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the story I got, we had a grocery store in Plattsmouth, Nebraska, closed down a few years back, and that was the thing, that the hurdle they couldn't get over. They needed new refrigerators, and there was no way they could buy new refrigerators and keep afloat, so they just had to close up.
Right.
So this stuff isn't cheap.
It's grants, and those things are $5,000 a piece, and what do we got, 7 of them there?
Yeah.
It's the things that you don't think about. I kind of didn't even think about a generator or, you know, just
that's
so pricey.
These are a little more modern. Refrigerators and freezers.
They're really nice. They each
have their own compressor.
Mm.
So you don't have that giant compressor anymore. So when the compressor goes down, they all go down. Well, just one goes down.
Mm-hmm. Smarter.
Even the new concrete out front, that looks great.
Yeah.
That was really rough.
Local contractor, Jaden Nelson, did that, and he did the back. He does all local stuff. Local HVAC, Swanson out of Spencer. We insulated the exterior of the existing.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's was Swanson out of Niobrara that did that. New front window. Bartak out of O'Neill did that.
It takes a village, and sometimes a surrounding village.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So I had to throw that out there about the grant.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah. And you saw back there, that's 36 by 40.
Yeah, it's nice.
36 really by nice. 40 edition, and that way, then we bring the skid loader in the wintertime, it'll start.
Yeah,
there you go.
And then in the summertime, when the Eagle Lanes is closed, we can have coffee back there.
There we go.
For the afternoon coffee, people.
When we were talking to the Handlebend boys in O'Neill the other day, last night, like, that's so awesome. You have a coffee shop now where people can just gather every morning and have coffee.
Right.
That's important.
It is.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the social media of the past.
There you go.
Is there a coffee shop here?
Yeah. No.
Okay. The back room.
The back room.
That's the new addition.
That's the new addition.
Yeah.
Just need a sign that says coffee house.
Yeah.
That's
fired up the regular coffee for the group.
Yeah.
Comes in about 3 and leaves about 4:30.
Okay.
One of the things you think, and we put that addition on, that was something positive happening in the community.
Sure.
That kind of, I'd like to think this is store and that addition has raised morale on the.
Yeah. You see growth.
Yeah.
You see something happening.
Yeah. See something. Yeah. See something good happening.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so the USDA, and so my grandfather would be rolling in the grave, me taking a check from the government. But if they're giving it out,
yeah,
we might as well get, you know. Yeah.
You put enough in over the years.
Yeah, you just don't, you know, send them an email and they say, okay, well, you got to jump through all the hoops.
Yes.
Right.
And check all the boxes.
You said, I mean, it's truly getting put to good use. You know, there's a lot of people benefiting from it. It's not just a handout per se.
No.
You know, I mean, everyone's having to work for this.
Right.
So there's
right.
a lot that goes into this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, next time.
Yeah, we're not the only one. We're not the only ones who've received money in Nebraska. I think one outfit out of Salt Creek, there's some down to Lincoln, and a grocery store in Emerson opened up as a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of asked it earlier. We kind of modeled ourselves after Hay Springs, clear out on the.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's a co-op out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we kind of modeled ourselves after that, and. Yeah, so it's been good.
Well, very good. So next time somebody swings through Lynch, you're going to have to stop by the co-op.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Stop in, get yourself a few goods here.
Get some goods from Valley Foods. So how'd you get that name? We didn't even
ask. Well, we kind of asked a few people. And,
okay.
And, well, you remember Mel Loken.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful day in the valley.
It's a beautiful day in the valley.
They see, there's got to be a story.
Yeah,
I thought.
It was a the local radio station out of O'Neill. You do a 15-minute news for Spencer, and then Butte does one, and Lynch does one, and Mel always opened with whether it was raining or there was 6 feet of snow on the ground. it's a beautiful day in the valley.
I got it. Well, that's perfect name. Yeah. Well, it was so nice to meet you.
Well, nice to meet you guys.
Thanks for letting us come in here.
Thanks for coming up.
Yeah.
Now you got to go back to work?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, Friday's usually a slow day for me. And I'll go home and mow the lawn and get ready for our son and our grandchildren.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, to come up. So.
Good deal. Good deal. Yeah. Get anything else, Andy?
No.
Remind folks that on our website, farmfocused, FOCUSED.com, use the code COMMONFOLK, so the name of the podcast, 20% off. Go visit it, get your gear, all the stuff that we sell as well. So I guess that's about it.
That's it. Yeah.
You guys good? Anything else?
I'm good.
Nothing for me.
All right. We appreciate it. I'm going to shut it down.
Thanks. Yep. Peace.
We'll see you.